In the name of Allah, the one who gives tranquility to the hearts of the believers, in the name of the Lord of Hussein alayhi salam, Muharram has arrived, the month of blood has arrived, the new year has begun. It's time once again to recall the Lord of the Martyrs, the man who wrote history with a bloody pen. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Today, the topic is about freedom and the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, there is no word that nations have called for or spoken about in length more than freedom. And people have delivered speeches, written books on the subject, and have raised banners calling for it. In the studio today, we have Sheikh Gambari, which is the president of Al Mustafa Open University. And from London, we have Sheikh Ahmad Hanif and our co-host, Ms. Sadiqia. Assalamu alaikum, Ms. Sadiqia.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Praise be to Allah who created mankind and made for them an example like Hussein alayhi salam to follow throughout their fierce battle with evil. Salam to you, brothers and sisters of Open Talk, companions of Open Talk. I'm your host, Alaa Sadiqian, and happy with you and this program. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
Hope you have instilled in our heart in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart it awaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred dream. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new lands, offered them a helping hand with the little that you had. Your servants you did save, their full freedom you gave, but they loved you and stayed to meet your same cruel fate. Love you showed to all God's creation.
Thank you for watching, dear viewers, and don't forget to contact us. We invite you to our Facebook page, Twitter page, and to watch our videos on YouTube and follow us through Skype. And don't forget our phone number. You will have our phone number and email address on the screen throughout the program. Without further ado, let's pass over to my colleague and start our today's program.
Thank you, Ms. Sadiqia. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Gambari, and welcome to our studio. Sheikh, my first question is about freedom in the words of the infallibles. What have they said about it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, bihi nasta'in, innahu khayru nasir al-mu'in. At the beginning of this program, I'd like to express my deepest condolences on the occasion of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, the master of all martyrs in the history. And I hope Allah would reward us in this misfortune, in this tragedy and sad days that we are experiencing in all over the world. And inshallah, we try to commemorate this occasion as our duty, as our responsibility as Shia Muslim. And Imam will guide us, inshallah, to the path that he, you know, showed us in the history, in the battlefield of Karbala. To enter freedom, freedom, as you said at the beginning of this program, is the issue that so many scholars in academic centers concerned in that and interested in that issue. And so many people, according to their own understanding and perception, have understood something from this idea and issue. When we return back to the context of Islam and through lens of Islam, look at this point, we can understand different issues, especially when we consider some occasions, such as the occasion of Ashura happened in Karbala and the uprising in the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. We can say freedom in Islamic perspective from the view of Ahlul Bayt, infallible Imams, especially Imam Hussein's movement, is referring to making people free from whatever exists in this world other than God. According to a hadith, we are focusing on our own responsibility and duties in this world. Allah says through the, you know, tongues of Ma'sumin, لا تكن عبد غير الله أو غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. Do not be the slave of the others other than yourself. Allah put us, created us as to be free people, free men. When we want to follow another people other than God, we want to show our slavery to that person. And no matter how powerful is that person, and no matter how powerful is that nation, is that tyrant, is that party, political party or pressure group, we are not allowed, according to Islam, to be slave of the others. Then freedom in Islam is releasing people from the obedience of all people, all organization, all customs other than God, other than Islam. Then if we release ourselves from the obedience of Taghut, Taghut is any person other than God, then we can reach freedom. And this freedom needs thinking. Needs.
So could we divide it into a mental slavery and a physical slavery?
Now we can say slavery and freedom.
Slavery and freedom.
Freedom is being the slave of God. So the slavery to God is not slavery indeed. It is freedom. But to be free from God is slavery.
All right.
You know, if we release ourselves from God.
So a person in a prison could be free.
Could be free. And he is free indeed because he is connected to God. Yeah. But if we attach through our heart to the other people, then we think that we are free, but indeed, in reality, we are not free. Yeah. We are the slaves of the others because the others' commands, recommendations, and teachings are important to us, and we try to follow these things. Sometimes we are the slaves of some paradigms, some discourse, some framework that we think that we are freely thinking, but indeed we are restricted to that framework, and then we are not free. But according to Islam, we have to open up toward Islam, and whatever comes from Allah the Almighty, that is divine blessing and mercy coming to us, we have to open up to that blessing and
what
mercy.
What I find striking, Sheikh, is one of the main messages of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, where he said that if you are not Muslims, at least be free.
Be free, yeah.
What can you say about it?
So it means that, you know, Imam wanted to invite people to the right path.
Yes.
But for me, the result of being free is to be slave of God. It means that to release yourself from the other people, not to be the obedient of Taghut, the tyrant of the time, the oppressor one, such as Yazid at that time, the time of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. If you release yourself from the hegemony, from the you know, kingdom of Taghut, Yazid, then you can be free. If you release yourself at that moment, you can think. Your mind starts thinking, okay, at that moment. If you think enough, you can find your way. This is what happened to Hur as the commander of Yazid army, and
would change his mind.
Yes, by just thinking.
At the last second.
At the last second, last yes. moment of his, you know, lifetime.
And he became the first Shaheed.
Yes, he thought that this is not freedom. I'm the slave of Yazid and Umar Saad and the other tyrants of the time. Let me free myself from these things.
Even if it costs my life.
Yes. Mm. He made himself free. And for the sake of that, Imam al-Hussein said, you are free as your mother, you know, named you free. Hur. Because Hur means free, free man. Sure. But in practice, he showed that he is free, not by name just.
True. If we look at the concept of freedom or Hurriya, as you mentioned, and the Basira, do we have any relations between them? Is there any relations?
Yes, we can consider somehow some relationship between these concepts. Insight means to open up the eyes of your heart. Okay, so we do have two types of seeing or observation. Some of them are going to be implemented by our physical eyes, and that is this, we call it sight of eyes. The function of eyes is sighting, seeing. Yes. But the seeing of heart is something deeper and a spiritual one, and the function of heart is insight. Insight means seeing by heart, the reality of the things. And that would be available for us through thinking, through using our mind, reasoning. So out of that, we can see the reality in the best way, and it needs more reflection. Yes. More thinking, and we have to spend some time for thinking. This is the matter of today's life. More time we do have, people are engaged in everyday activities, in their job, in their educational process, but unfortunately there is no room for thinking.
No.
If we don't think,
because
then
of
we
the
cannot
different
find
veils we have in the society.
Exactly. If we don't think, we cannot find a way for toward truth,
right,
toward reality.
Sheikh, I'm going to hold you there. We're going to go for a break. Inshallah, come back after the break.
What was so different about Imam Hussein alayhi salam from any other sacrifice for the sake of truth and freedom? Imam Hussein was the example of a candle burning itself, illuminating the way for others, giving the ultimate sacrifice to enlighten the path of truth, as the truth only shall set you free. It does not require a majority to prevail, but rather a profoundly faithful few, keen to uphold the truth and sacrifice for it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, valiant soul, stood against the oppressive leaders while the noblest motives of Islam were being reviled and mocked, and the truth suffered an eclipse. It only took a word of compliance, a small sign of non-resistance, and much sorrow and suffering would have been saved. The sacrifice of Imam Hussein alone would have been tragedy and lesson enough, but he sacrificed almost all members of his family and companions for the price of truth and freedom. What are the limits of this freedom? Where do we begin and where does it end? Imam Hussein taught us these limits begin with the truth and end with the courage to uphold it at all cost. His life showed that nothing is as valuable as truth and freedom, and being in minority has no relevance on our victory. Our responsibility is not how many we save, but saving our own humanity in the cause of truth, no matter what the cost. Analyzing this message, we are forced to ask, how free am I? And how am I keeping the truth alive? The mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was to live the message as a moral university of mankind and the savior of our own souls.
Thank you for watching. You're watching a live broadcast of Open Talk on this special occasion of Muharram. On the website, dear viewers, on the website israinternational.com, addressing this part to Dr. Ghambari. The article is on the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The following article is a message from Sheikh An-Ninawi, if I'm not wrong, written on the advent of Muharram. Speak the truth, he says, speak the truth, though against yourself. Support the haq, denounce the batil, stand up the oppressors and tyrants, no matter the price. Imam Hussein's message was simple and clear. Is life so dear and sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty Allah, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me haq or give me death. Shaykh An-Nawawi adds, there are those who, until today, believe that forgeries, fancy words, and booklets can mask the shining truth. Persistent attempts to distance Imam Hussein and his seerah away from Ahlus Sunnah are ongoing and more intense and serious than ever. This Yazidi line, he says, regardless of what banner or name they choose to brand themselves with, can no longer fool the intellectual Muslim. What should be done, Doctor, by Muslims and every free human being to stop those who try to mask this shining truth of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam?
Thank you. That's a good question. You know, there are two lines, as you mentioned in this article, the line of truth and the line of, you know, battle that is not truth, that is false way of living. So every time, in every place, we have to find out what is truth and what is false.
Yeah.
And to follow the truth one and to forget about the false one. And what Imam Hussein teaches us in this way is to be aware of your time, to understand these two lines, to spread two armies or two realms of live, of living, and to be the owner of the person who is the oppressed one.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy of the person who is oppressing, the tyrant of the time. Yeah. In any time, we have to separate these two things. And we, if we focus on that message of Imam Hussein's movement and uprising, we can find that this is very rational way of living. This is not against reason. This is not against science, against, you know, academic understanding and teaching. So all of these are acceptable by the intellectual generation of all Muslims. You know, lands or non-Muslim lands even. There are so many non-Muslims are followers of Imam Hussein's movement because they took the lesson of Imam Hussein in, you know, achieving the truth through the means that Allah has given us, you know, like such as our life, you know, our abilities, our reasons, our children, our helpers. All of them are used to reach the truth. And Imam Hussein did that. So if we say, do not lose your life because of the truth, then if you're not be alive, then how can be this truth is implemented or available? But we say we ourselves are not important.
Yeah.
What important is truth, is Islam, is the reality. Then if I can reach it with my own abilities, then I can do it and I have to do that. But if it is not possible, except through the death, except through the martyrdom, then we are allowed to you know, offer our life, whatever is existed for us, then to that truth, to reach that. Because the truth is useful for the next generations. So we have to think about the others as well, such as Imam. Imam did this for, you know, saving the Ummah, Prophet, the other people. Imam himself is important, but important to be guide for the other people, to guide the others to the right path. This is the way we can take the message of Imam al-Hussein, I think.
And we should urge ourselves to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Then we are helping Imam al-Hussein in delivering this message for the sake of truth and reality. Mm. Imam Hussein is not separated from truth.
Yeah.
From God, from Islam, pure Islam. So the way of Imam al-Hussein is the way of Prophet and the way of God. And then through that, we can reach happiness of this world and the hereafter.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Brother, we're with you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sadiqa. I think we have Brother Ahmad Hanif or Sheikh Ahmad Hanif tuned in. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, assalamu alaikum. Do you have my voice?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Thank you and same to you.
Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, what can you say about the basic elements or slogans that we can learn from Imam Hussein's uprising?
I think one of the basic elements that we can learn is the right of everyone to correct their society, to rectify problems that you have in your society with all of the energy you can.
Even if it is,
and I think this is a,
pardon? Even if it is with the sacrifice of your life.
It depends upon what you're ready for. You know, it depends upon the gravity of the situation.
Yes.
You know, in some cases you might need to be patient and wait. You know, in some cases you might actually need to put your life. I mean, but Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was trying to get the Muslims back to their original state, on the right path. It was the light of Islam, the existence of itself. And so therefore, yes, it is something that he could give his life for. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sheikh.
But everybody has to have this role. Everybody has the role of correcting themselves and correcting others.
Yes. Thank you, Sheikh. Sheikh Qambari, if I address my next question to you. The slogan that Imam Hussein made so famous all around the globe, Hayhat minna dhilla, far be from us humiliation. What can you say about it?
If we return back to our main topic, that was freedom.
Yes.
I want to talk about these issues under that topic.
All right.
Freedom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the concept within the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had three meanings or three aspects and dimensions. So the first one, freedom as negation of the oppression. The second one, freedom as the negation of humiliation, and the third one, freedom of negation or as negation of worldly affairs or materialistic world. So these three should be negated to reach the freedom and pure freedom, that is Islamic one and Islam.
So negation of oppression, negation of
humiliation, negation of materialistic world.
All right.
Okay.
What about the mental aspect? The mental slavery that we talked about.
So mental slavery, you know, comes out of the three.
You could be free even if you are in a prison, for example.
You know, it comes out of the three.
Know,
our mind is engaged in this world. For example, I'm thinking about my own social position every day and to strengthen my social position, for example, to lose that. So this is dunya, this is worldly affairs.
Yeah.
So I cannot attach my heart to dunya because dunya is passing. Whatever is in dunya is passing. It's not lasting. Then how could we attach our heart to something that is going on and that is passing? It's not stable. Okay. So one of aspects of freedom is freedom against humiliation or negating any humiliation. That is what Imam al-Hussein chanted in the day of Ashura by Hayhat minna dhilla. All types of humiliation is far from us. As Imam, as Ahlul Bayt, or as the followers of Ahlul Bayt. So we're not allowed to humiliate ourselves before, in front of any oppressor, in front of any person. To accept the oppression is a great sin. There is the oppressor person, and he is committing oppression. Okay, we're not allowed to go to accept that. Okay, because if we accept that oppression, then the oppressor one is, you know, going to become more powerful and then to commit more sins.
There is a famous quote, Sheikh, from Malcolm X, rahmatullah alayhi, which he says that the one who accepts oppression deserves double oppression.
Exactly. That's the point I wanted to
maybe
say.
Maybe that's one of the messages of
Kabbalah. Exactly, that's it.
Right.
So we should stand against oppression, not to humiliate ourselves before any person. We not allow, except then Allah the Almighty. So Allah is the omnipotent, omniscient, the creator of us and our Lord, and we have to humiliate before Allah only, not anybody else. And then Hayhat min nadhilla. So Allah created us by honor, by dignity as human beings. So human is honorable person. Okay, and this honor should be respected, should be protected by human beings. Otherwise, if you accept the oppression of any person, if you humiliate yourself before the rich people, before the powerful people, before the people who are, you know, powerful, superpowers, rich, great powers, or some organizations that are, you know, forcing themselves over us, and we have to accept, you know, the power and the hegemony of them over us, then we are losing our honor.
Yes.
So Allah is honorable, Allah is aziz, and mu'min is aziz as well, is the person who has honor, and this honor is you know, understandable through being against the oppression, being against the people who are coming and forcing us to obey them, and we have to stop against them what Imam Hussein did.
But sometimes we can't.
Sometimes we can't.
And then we should take the path of patience, like Sheikh Ahmad Hanif
sometimes,
pointed out.
If it is possible.
Sometimes we have to be sabur or patient,
yeah.
And sometimes we have to do an uprising like Imam Hussein.
Yeah, Imam Hussein.
It depends on the condition.
It depends on the condition and situation. Imam Hussein says, "Inni la ara al-maut illa sa'ada." I don't see death except happiness. So death is happiness for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Happiness of this world and hereafter. It is not misfortune. It is not losing anything. He is gathering and receiving many, many things. And it is the eternal life after the death.
Thank you.
And the oppression and the living with the oppressors and the tyrant people, I see it like misfortune, like losing many things.
Yes. Thank you, Sheikh. Ms. Sadeghian, do you have something prepared for us?
Sure, of course. A video is here,
right,
Brother, on who is Hussein.
Oh,
dear
nice.
Viewers, do stay with us, watch it and ponder over it.
What is so inspiring is that Hussein was all by himself, surrounded by thousands of enemy combatants. And then all of a sudden he noticed that his family members were being attacked from different directions. He made out a cry that reverberates throughout centuries and actually inspires and awakens the conscience of so many. He said, "Be free in this world." And Hussein's ethos was about establishing freedom and promoting human rights and standing against injustice and oppression. Now, for a man who noticed that there was widespread cancerous dictatorship and oppression that was very much strife at that time, he stood to correct it. He stood to eliminate any type of hypocrisy that existed at that time, and therefore he stands as an embodiment of those who are seeking to establish freedom and the expression, right to express oneself at all times, at all centuries. Human beings are generally craving to practice their faith and to be given the freedom to express themselves. And for millions across the world today, Hussein stands as the exemplary individuals and the role model in seeking to establish freedom, dignity, honor, and the right for self-expression.
Yes, thank you, viewers, for watching. Sheikh Hanif, please, addressing this part to you, please, you share your knowledge with us. The lecturer believes in the clip, the lecturer believes that Hussein's ethos was about establishing freedom, promoting human rights. Human beings are generally craving to practice the faith and to be given freedom and the right for self-expression. Now, from among many questions they ask Sheikh Hanif, does this self-expression necessarily ends up with freedom?
I didn't get your question. You were breaking. Communication was not good.
Sheikh Hanif, do you have my voice now? Are you still with us?
I am still with you.
Okay, shall I repeat it?
Yes, please.
Okay, the lecturer believes that Hussein's ethos was about establishing freedom and promoting human rights. Human beings are generally craving to practice the faith and be given freedom and the right for self-expression. The point is here about the self-expression. Does the self-expression necessarily end up with freedom, Sheikh?
I have a problem with the formation of the question because, I don't think it modern fighter. It's only modern times you have people talking about fighting for freedom and self-expression. You know, I mean, I support freedom and self-expression, don't get me wrong. But I don't think Imam Hussein was explicitly fighting for freedom and self-expression in a modern sense. I mean, for example, when you look at the idea of freedom in Islam, the most important freedom in Islam is freedom in the self. When you look at hur, for example, you know, hur is described by Imam Hussein as being free. But he's free in what sense? He's free in the sense that his environment does not dictate his decision. Okay, he's free in the sense that he is free to make the right choice, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think hur was really fighting for self-expression, you know, even though he did express himself. And he did believe that, Imam Hussein had a right to express himself and make his claim to the leadership of the Ummah. You know, but I think you have a problem with this business about self-expression, because in the West, the Western idea of self-expression is something entirely different. Whatever you feel or whatever you believe in, you should express.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that was it at all. You know, I think Imam Hussein was fighting for freedom in the sense of the freedom of people to know the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is that he was the Imam of the Ummah, you know, and the path to God went through him. I think this is the truth.
Yes, right. Thank you, Sheikh Hanif. Brother Wahid, we're all ears.
Thank you very much, Sadiqian. Sheikh Qambari, what can you say about the contradiction between the concept of hurriya, freedom, and amr bil ma'ruf, to recommend the good?
Okay, I think at the first sight it seems to be controversial, or it is contradicting the other, but I think indeed there is no contradiction between, because when we say freedom means free from environment, free from the force of the society, the force of community, free from the tyrant people, the oppression, free from taghut, from shaitan, from dunya, from whatever that are playing the role of barrier.
Poisonous mentality, maybe?
Yes, of course. Mm. All of them that are barrier between us and God. They are, you know, not allowing us to reach God easily. They are coming and, you know, preventing us not to reach God, not to get a proximity to God. So we have to release all of them, remove all of them, and then we can find freedom. Then if the person is committing sin, he is the slave of sin, of the environment, of his own, you know, very lower passions and desires that are mundane, that are materialistic really. But if you do your own responsibility in, you know, advising that person to the good path and good way, that's why we say al-amru bil ma'ruf. So to invite people to the good things, to the right path, then you are helping that person to release himself from that environment, that posing that environment, the slavery over that person. Mm. Then you can take the hand of that person to release or get rid of that environment, that sinful scene. Okay.
But how can you do that? How can you
develop
yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Before you start advising others,
yeah,
you have to develop yourself. Yeah. How can you do that?
You know, there are some degrees in doing this process, you know, helping people
exactly
in finding the good way. First, we have to express our own idea that we think these are perfect idea and Islamic one. Okay. And then if it doesn't work, then we have to go forward and just physically contact to that person and take his hand and, you know, take away from that environment, that situation. If it doesn't work, then there is some higher level. I don't advise people to engage in that level because this is the last resort, you know. We can't all the time.
When you say the last resort, what do you mean?
That's just martyrdom and death.
Martyrdom.
This is what Imam al-Hussein did, but it depends on the situation to think about.
Sometimes it becomes obligatory.
Yeah, sometimes it becomes obligatory. For example, Imam al-Hussein did his al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an al-munkar. He wanted to forbid what is bad and to enjoin what is good. But he saw that statements doesn't work. Talking doesn't work. Because Imam said, "An-nas abidu dunya." People are the slaves of this world. Dunya. And what deen la'iqun ala al-sinatihim. So deen, religion is just some word they are uttering. They are just saying or calling themselves as Muslims, but indeed there is no Islam in their hearts. Indeed there's no Islam in this in their lifetime, in this lifestyle. Then Imam saw that these words doesn't work. Doesn't influence the hearts of
it's
people.
It's enough with talking.
Yeah, that's
it's
enough
time
talking.
To walk the walk.
Yeah. And martyrdom is the final way, and struggling the enemy of God is the final way for al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar. And the cost of that is losing or sacrificing yourself and your life. And it is, you know, available and acceptable through Islamic lens. But till reaching that moment, that position, we do have so many degrees and levels to do our responsibility. But it doesn't contradict freedom.
All right.
And Imam did martyrdom to free people, to release people from the slavery of dunya, and slavery of taghut.
Yes, but there are some misconceptions, yep. Sheikh, that we have about this uprising. And we'll talk a little bit more about it, inshallah, about those misconceptions. I want to address my next question to Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. The role of freedom and hurriya in Imam Hussein's revolt. What can you say about it, Sheikh? Do you have my voice? Sheikh Ahmad Hanif? All right, let's go back to you, Sheikh Qambari. We have some communications problems.
Yeah.
The misconceptions. Now, before the program, you mentioned that we have some misconceptions that are coming from other religions, like Christianity, for example. That Imam Hussein alayhi salam did his uprising to somehow erase the sin of the Muslim Ummah. And now we can do whatever we want, but at the time of Muharram, we just, you know, join the programs of Muharram and cry, and with our crying and weeping and beating our chest, we can wipe out our sins and paradise is guaranteed for us.
Yeah.
What can you say about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is some misunderstanding that we're suffering from, and especially among the young generations that we see that there are so many young generations, young Muslims, that they don't care about their Islamic rituals in the best way. They sometimes perform prayer, but not in an exact way.
With it.
Yeah, they're not so strict. But what they say, Muharram is the good opportunity for us to engage in and to participate in some ceremonies that are commemorating Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom. And if we cry, because we heard from ulama, from the scholars, that they said, if you cry just a little bit for Imam al-Hussein's, then all of your sins, the passing sins that you did in the past, all of them will be forgiven. And that's it for us. And we accept the hadith, you know, without caring about our own responsibilities as Muslims and doing and fulfilling our rituals. That are recommended, some of them are obligatory, some of them are recommended. Without doing them, we are engaging in just mourning Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, just crying or just beating ourselves, I don't know, whatever are becoming as customs for commemorating Imam Hussein's martyrdom, then that's it. But I have to clarify it and put my emphasis on that point, that before mourning for Imam Hussein Martyrdom, we have to be Shia, we have to be real Muslim. Some of the people went to Imam Hussein and they said, "We are your Shia, O Imam Hussein." And you know what Imam Hussein answered them? He said, "Don't tell a lie, because you are increasing your sins by just telling lie." They said, "We didn't commit sin." We said, "We are your Shia." He said, "You are not our Shia. Only you are our lovers. Okay, you love me."
I would give you the time, Sheikh, to elaborate on that point, inshallah ta'ala. Because of shortage of time, I'm going to pass it over to Ms. Sadiqian. Do you have something prepared for us, Mr. Sadiqian?
Yes, sure, brother. We have one of our viewers through Skype.
Through Skype, all right.
Welcome to your program, Salam. And let me offer my condolences on the Shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the occasion of Muharram. Please first introduce yourself.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Sikandar Kadim. I'm from India.
Thank you, brother. The question is here, what do you see as the message of Hurriya and freedom and the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In answer of this question, I would, first of all, I would define the freedom, the Hurriyat, which you mentioned is being translated as freedom in English. The freedom is a controversial matter, which is, here is not the place to explain it, all of the opinions about this. So in short, I would say that in a explanation of, in a elaborating of this thing, the freedom, we have two opinions, two general opinions, which says, one of the opinions says that the freedom is not to be under control of someone physically. And the second opinion says that you not to be under control of someone spiritually. This has two approaches to freedom. In matter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam have said that إِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمًا, which means that I'd rather die with dignity instead of living with humiliation. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam would say that the spiritual aspect of freedom is much more important than the physical aspect, because the much more aspect of human being is a spiritual one. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam preferred the spiritual freedom, which was dying with dignity, instead of living with humiliation, which was a physical aspect of that thing. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam also said that al-hayatu ma'al izzati khayrun min al-mawti ma'al dhulla, means if you live with dignity, is much more better to if you die with dignity, is much more better than living with humiliation. So consequently, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was seeing or seeking the freedom in obedience of Allah. Therefore, Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that someone who has found Allah, what would he do? And someone who has lost Allah, who has lost Allah, what would he find? This was the opinion about this thing which you asked.
Thank you so much for joining and participating, brother. Sheikh Hanif, I would like to address this part to you. Are you with us?
Yes.
On Facebook, Sheikh, on page quotes about Imam Hussein alayhi salam by renowned personalities, it is quoted from Rabindranath Tagore, the Bengali Indian writer, that the world of things in which we live misses its equilibrium when its communication with the world of love is lost. Then we have to pay with our soul for objects which are immensely cheap. And this can only happen when the prison walls of things threaten us with being final in themselves. Only he helps us who proves by his life that we have a soul who's dwelling in the kingdom of love, and things lose the tyranny or tyranny of fictitious price when we come to our spiritual freedom. He says Hussein's sacrifice indicates spiritual liberation. Now, I want you to elaborate a bit more on how love leads to the spiritual freedom gained by Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
I'm sorry, I completely lost you. The reception was very bad. So you were cut off somewhere in the middle of your talk here.
Okay. Sheikh, could you please elaborate on how love of Imam Hussein leads to spiritual freedom he gained?
I'm still getting problems.
Okay, Dr. Lambert, could you please?
Yeah, about love of Imam Hussein reaching freedom, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the way of reaching Imam Hussein alayhi salam is following Imam. Okay. This is why I said, Imam said you have to be Shia before them being, you know, I don't know, mourners of my martyrdom. This is something that we can understand from Imam Hussein.
Yeah.
So Shia is the person who is following Imam step by step and taking Imam as his role model for his life. Okay. So Imam reached Hurriya, and the message of Ashura is making people free.
Yeah.
Free from whatever than God. Okay. And attaching people to God. This is the meaning of freedom.
Yeah.
Then, if we want to be like Imam al-Hussein first, we have to know Imam, knowing Imam, who was Imam, and what is the status of Imam among the principles that we have in Islam.
Yeah.
And then, we have to obey Imam after knowing that. Obedience is necessary for the followers of Imam. Without obedience, there were so many people in Battle of Karbala,
yeah.
Most of them, or all of them, we can say, knew Imam Hussein in the best way, like their children, they knew Imam.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there was no obedience over there for mm-hmm. Imam Hussein
yeah.
from the side of you know, the army. Then we have to obey Imam, and ma'rifa, knowing Imam, and obedience of Imam is, you know, leading us toward love of Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
You know, attachment to Imam through our heart.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay.
I want to thank you, Jazakallah Khairan. And brother Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, I'm very sorry for the communication problems. Jazakallah Khairan for joining us in the studio. And thank you, Ms. Sadiq Young.
Thank you, Brother White, for your support. And I appreciate the precious presence of our experts. Dear viewers, in a few days, the day of Ashura comes. Iltimasa dua and take care.
Don't forget us in your prayers in these special nights. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.